Well, I'm excited to introduce someone to you this morning, and because I'm not going to be preaching this morning, and I'm so excited that I'm not preaching. So, and so are you, probably. So let me explain why. The Apostle Paul, as you read the book of Acts, was traveling around and sharing the gospel message, this good news about Jesus. And he's got this small army of young men that were traveling with him. And what he was doing is he was raising these guys up to go and plant churches and to minister the gospel in other cities. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul gets to the city of Ephesus. Now, the gospel has gotten to Ephesus. But if you remember, if you haven't read Acts 19 lately, there's a little homework for you. Paul finds some believers in Jesus. And he's like, hey, believers in Jesus, congratulations, what's going on? I'm the Apostle Paul, you've probably read some of my letters. And he goes, tell me about your conversion experience. How did you come to believe in Jesus? So they said, well, we believed in Jesus, we were baptized in Jesus. And then Paul says, did you also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. So he says, oh, so he lays his hands on them and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak in other tongues and the power of God was poured out on the church in Ephesus. And Paul, actually, we think he spent about 3 years in Ephesus raising up and training that church. And then he moved on and he left one of his sons, one of his spiritual sons, not his physical son, to pastor that church in Ephesus. And it was this young man named Timothy. Now, at that time, Timothy was probably in his 20s. So he's now taking over this church of several thousand people. But Paul was Timothy's biggest cheerleader, and Paul would encourage Timothy, and Paul would pour into Timothy, and Paul would give Timothy opportunities to minister. So this morning, I'm no Apostle Paul, but I am going to give Timothy an opportunity to minister. Josh Maldonado was given the opportunity to be our youth pastor about a year and a half ago. And this young man and his wife have been doing amazing things with our teenagers, and we've been seeing kids get born again all the time. And as a leader in this house, as a father in this house, a father in the faith, I am so proud of Josh and Cassie and the work that they're doing. And I am so excited for you guys to open your hearts and to receive the word of God from Josh this morning. Come on, baby.
Check. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're good. Well, good morning, New Life Family Church, for the second time today. I am so honored that the fact that I get this opportunity. So thank you, Pastor Brad and Pastor Josie, for doing this, for letting me do this. And so just as he said, my name is Joshua Maldonado, along with my wife, Cassie, and our 5.5-month-old baby that's inside her tummy. We are the youth pastors here at New Life Family Church. And so we are just so blessed to be here, and we're so blessed to be part of this family. And so I'm so excited for today. I'm so excited for the chance just to speak to you and speak about what God put on my heart. And so this past week, we just celebrated a true American holiday. It was just a couple days ago, this family get together, and it was just an amazing time. And so I hope all you guys enjoyed Black Friday. But no, in all honesty, I hope everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving. I sure did. My mother-in-law's in town, and so it was great just to be with family and friends. But while I was eating Thanksgiving dinner, and so funny story, just a side note, this isn't in my notes. This is my first time that we all made a turkey together. And so in the process of picking up the turkey and then moving it to the plate, it literally all just fell apart. And it just like just fell off the bone. Like, well, at least it looks done. And so then that happened. No one threw up. So that worked out. But in the middle of eating, I had this realization. I came to this fact that this wasn't going to last. I was just like, man, I got to go to work on Saturday. Like, I'm not going to be able just to, like, I had Thursday and Friday off. It was just like, wow, this is the good life. This is it. This is how you live. I get to sleep in until like 10. I don't have to worry about, you know, driving to work and being stuck on 121 or 183. And, you know, I don't worry about getting angry about that. And this is it. This is the pinnacle of living. I've made it. And then I realized I have to go back to work. And some people had to go to work sooner. Some people had to work on Thanksgiving night. And so the real world awaited me. The good life will soon be ending. And I'm sure some of you even said this, I wish it could always be like this. Unless you're a Redskins fan, of course. But I want to point to something instead of the word. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So often we walk through our lives instead of going from joy to joy. It feels like we're going from tragedy to tragedy. But We treat blessings as if they're vacations from God. We feel like they're like we treat our blessings from God like they're Thanksgivings or Memorial Days. I'm here to tell you that God's blessing for you is not a refreshing week off. No. In fact, church, God's blessing is meant to be an abundant life. You see, but there's so often times that we forget that. We treat God's blessing like it's something that's supposed to be that to just enjoy and then let go. It's like, oh, well, that was nice. That was a nice vacation. I'm glad I got to sleep until 10. Thank you, God, for that blessing. But instead, I know that you just want to put me through trial and tribulation. And God, you know, you want me to really just work in my heart because, man, my life sucks. And then, thank you, God. I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that my life sucks. And God's just like, wait a second. Wait a second, I love you. You're my son, you're my daughter. I have so much more for you. Why are you giving this up? Why are you passing this moment by? And so often, many times, the reason why we do this is because we don't understand our worth. We don't understand who we are. We don't understand who God really calls us to be. You see, we think that we have this poverty and this orphan mindset that we can't advance further inside our walk with Christ because we get all we deserve. You see, back in a time when there were specials on Sunday morning and that the pastor had the congregation give a praise report that sometimes seemed even longer than the pastor's message itself, and then they had usually someone give a 5 to 10 minute pre-message before the message, I was one of those times where my pastor asked me, he goes, Brother Josh, will you please give a 5 to 10 minute message on just how great the goodness of God is? I was like, okay, I guess. And so I went up there and I spoke for probably about like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. But I remember after the service, there was one of the senior members. They came up to me afterwards and they said, son, you're just a spring chicken. You don't know what the world is yet, but you will. And then he just walked away. I was just like, after like first getting over the fact that I felt threatened and the fact that someone called me a spring chicken, I was just like, that's not normal. This isn't how things normally go. I was taken aback by the fact that it was so easy for someone to believe that God did not want to bless them on a continuous basis. I was taken aback by someone they got so used to life being difficult that they'd rather just accept the fact that their life was supposed to be hard than accept the fact that they have a loving father that actually cares for them. Yes. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So many times we look forward inside our life and we think, I don't have a future, I don't have any hope, but God's saying, I have something for you. If you remember, Jeremiah is writing to all the Jews that were exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. If he is writing to people who have literally been taken from their land and cast out, and he's still saying, God still has a plan for you, I can guarantee you the trial that you're going through is not that big. God has something for you. God has a future, and God has a hope for you. But we need to buy into that. We need to latch on to God's train and say, God, I want to be a part of this. I want to have a hope for my life. I want to have a future for myself. God, please give that to me. In Romans 8, chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, and so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself, and having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. How many times are you rejecting God's glory on your life? How many times has he called you to be a brother and a sister to Jesus and to follow after him, but you're saying, God, you don't understand me. You don't understand my walk. You don't understand my testimony. You don't understand me. God's saying, I already know you in advance. I knew you before I even made you. I have everything planned out for you. I have the goals and I have the plans for you. And you're saying, God, you don't know my future. God, I'm not worth your glory. I'm not worth to take that step. I'm not worth to continue walking with you, God. You should just leave me here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. I just want to stop here just for a second. We are God's masterpiece. So how many times have you looked in the mirror and said, no, you're imperfect. No, you don't understand. You don't measure up. And God's saying, son, daughter, I love you so much. I created you perfectly. I have this for you. I created you just as you are. But you're saying, God, I'm broken and I'm imperfect. And he says, exactly. You're mine. I have you. Just trust in me. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. There's so many times we walk through our life and we're just, I don't know what's going to come for me. I don't know what's around the corner. I don't have a vision. I don't have a plan. I don't have a future. So we get dejected and we sit still. We become stagnant and stale. And that's the exact opposite that God wants for us. God's calling you forward. God's calling you out. God's calling you to lead. But instead, we're just like, God, no, I don't have that plan. I don't have that plan yet. And we lose out on the good things that God has for us. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8 says, I taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. How many people feel like they're lacking some good things inside of their life? How many people feel like they're missing out on something? It feels like they're getting attacked by the hungry lions. It's all right. You don't have to raise your hand. We all know that. There's people out there. I know I have. I felt like, God, what's going on? I feel like I'm being ripped to shreds out here. God's like, you're not even trusting in me. You're just sitting there and you're just letting things attack you, but yet you complain to me that they're even happening, but you're not even looking to me. There's so many times inside my life where I've just fallen short and I've beaten myself up and I've become dejected because I feel like God's picking on me. Church, let me tell you that God is not a child with a magnifying glass picking off ants because they stole something from the picnic. God is a father with a fully stocked fridge and saying, here, it's all yours. Just take it. You don't even have to ask. You're my son. You're my daughter. Just come and take it. But we would rather be like kids, just sit at the table and just be unsatisfied because God, why didn't you set the table? God, why aren't the plates? Why aren't the food here? When we didn't even ask. We didn't even go and just take it because God has something for us laid right in front of us. But you would rather sit there and mean, God, my life is terrible. I'm in a job I don't like. I'm with a woman that doesn't even like me, and I'm not even sure if I like her. That's not the truth. I love you so much, baby. It's just a point. That's all I'm talking about. But God, my life is pitiful. My dog ran away. My car broke down. And you sound like a bad country song. God, what's going on with my life? It seems like it's terrible. And God's just like, that's all you talk about. You're not talking about my goodness. You're not talking about the faithfulness that you have inside me. You're not trusting with me. You're not trying to take the next step with me. You're going to sit there and dejected and sit there inside your own filth and think that something can change. I'm the change that needs to happen inside your life, but you're not even bringing me in it. God has something for you. We just need to taste it. But God's not going to spoon feed into our mouth like we're a baby. No, he trusts that we're going to take the next step for him and say, God, I need the next step. God, I need to move forward. Have you ever met that long-suffering Christian? Has that ever been part of your life before? Whenever you start talking about how good God is and the blessing he has for you and all the good things he's done inside your life, and all of a sudden in comes Captain Long-Suffering just to save the day. And so usually you say, they're just like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, God's really testing me and my long-suffering. You know how it goes. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. What is this, 1611? Okay, today's translations don't even have long suffering; they have patience. And even not long, even then, it's not even the best, completely accurate translation of that. The word long suffering in Galatians chapter 5 uses the Greek word macrothumia. I studied that so many times to make sure I wouldn't mess up. Which gets its root from macro, meaning large or long, and thumos, meaning temper. So it literally translates to long-tempered. And so it's different than patience. And so because patience deals with how with weathering the storm, but yet long-suffering deals with how you are during the storm. It's different. It's how you act. So if you encounter a long-suffering Christian in the wild and they're in the midst of their pity party, it seems like they're rowing a boat, but yet they keep on pouring water on themselves. It's like you're not counteractive. It's not working. Don't do that. And so just remind them that they have worth inside their life. Because so many times all they need is to know is like, hey, you know God loves you? And they're just like, well, yeah. But you know, he's like, no, but. God loves you. God wants to care for you. God wants to provide for you. God loves you. There's so many things that we can change inside our life when you finally realize that you have value in yourself. And God has value in you. My second point today is that you need to live your life. Weird, right? In order to have an abundant life, you need to live it. But it seems like so many times that we kind of just mess up before we even start. Look at this. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. We as Christians take off the chains of slavery, of bondage, of sin, but then we shackle ourselves right up again with religion. It seems like we work so hard to get away from the thing that has been holding us down, but then we think that we put God inside this box where I need to follow all these laws, I need to follow all these rules, and if I don't do it, then God's going to hate me, and I'm going to be hated forever, I'm going to go to hell, and I'm going to burn, it's going to be terrible. But yet we forget about the freedom that first set us free. We would so much give it up and say, nope, this is it, this is my life now, I'm just going to get led. This is my life, I'm a lowly Christian. Look at me as I just wallow in my guilt, in my shame, because that's what Christians do. What? Excuse me? Did you not just accept Jesus Christ into your heart? The one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that set you free? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on that judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show a person if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is built up, the builder will suffer a great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. That sounds terrible. That sounds like the worst test ever. Is this like, you know, like in woodshop when you build like a Pinewood Derby car and then your teacher tells you not to build it too thin because it'll explode, and then you build it too thin and then it explodes. You're just like, okay. It's either you make it or you don't. And at that time, it's just like either your material will be burned down or it'll stand up. What are you building with? You see, we have a foundation, which is Jesus Christ, but yet there's still a variable in there. You can still build with the wrong materials, even though you have a good foundation. So what values what should be building with then? Well, you should be building things of value. Well, then what value should we be building with our life? What is the building? What is our structure? Are you building an apartment? Are you building a duplex? Are you building what are you building? And so in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear, sexual immorality. But the funny thing is that a lot of times as Christians, we kind of just stop there. We're like, sexual immorality, man, that's the worst thing ever. That's the worst thing you could ever do inside your life. All right, God, what do you have for me? No, there's a lot of things that we can still screw up on. And so sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. I still deal with that sometimes. Selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So many times we get caught up on the things that we're not supposed to be doing, that we forget about the things so much easier it is that we should be doing. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone that is living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, there's a long list of things we shouldn't be doing, but there's a very short, simple list of things that we should do. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So many times we lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing. We're so worried about the laws and the guidelines and the barriers or things that we're not supposed to push. Oh, I can't have a wild party. That'd be terrible. I'm going to go to hell. Oh, you know me. I got angry last week. You know, I better go punish myself again. It's like, what? Why are you so worried about things you're not supposed to be doing when you can focus on the things that is so much easier to do? You know how much easier it is to love someone than to hate someone? You know how much easier it is to have the mindset of joy because you have Christ inside your heart than to be hateful towards someone? You know how much easier it is to have patience than to just fly off the handle? You realize that all the problems inside your life, they kind of get corralled a whole lot easier when you're focusing on the good things that God has instead of the bad things that you're not supposed to be doing. The joy of the Lord is your strength, but if you don't have the joy of the Lord, then it's a whole lot easier to not have strength. It's so much easier to lose your grip on reality when you're too busy focusing on things that you're not supposed to be doing. That's like getting ready to take an exam, but yet you focus, like the teacher gives you the study guide, and you're like, okay, so this is the things on the study guide. I better learn everything that I'm not supposed to learn. That way I know everything I am supposed to learn. Right? It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, logic doesn't really fit. Like, just follow the study guide and you'll be great. Like, we bottle ourselves up. We get so afraid of failure that we don't even want to step out. We're like, no. If I go out, I might mess up. What if someone asks me for prayer and I say no? I mean, it's the same thing. If you're not going out and making yourself available for prayer, then you're basically already telling them no. What if I go out and God gives me a word to share for somebody? Then you go share it. It's as simple as that. I mean, they're like, well, what if that's not what God really wants me to do? You're telling me that you're going to walk down in Walmart, down the pasta aisle, get some tortellini or something like that, and then God's going to tell you, hey, you should go pray for that person. And you're like, God, is that you? Do you want me to bless them? You sure? Maybe next time, God. No. God has so much for you. God has so much planned for you. But don't get bottled up by your own emotions. Don't get bottled up by your own fear of failure. In Psalms chapter 118, it says this, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. Amen. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. You see, God takes you from a place of compromise into a place of completion. God takes you from a place of worry and brings you to a place of victory. God takes you from a place of defeat and brings you to a place of satisfaction. You see, God is the completion. The good thing is that it's all for one reason. That brings me to my third and final point, is that it's not just for you. The abundant life, what you find worth inside yourself, the way you live your life, it's not just for you. It's so easy for us to get comfortable. It's so easy for us to look at our life and say, I finally have it. I have my beautiful wife. I have my kid on the way. I have a job that supports both of us. You know, we have two cars that work, and so it gets us point A to point B. I got it. I got it good. I'm just going to sit here. Yeah, I'm doing my part. I'm praying for people. I'm reading my word. I'm doing all this great stuff. But you're not going. You're forgetting the main reason. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Everything we do is for the kingdom. Our win at New Life is for the lost to be found. Salvations, people to break off their bondage and their chains. to have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that can only truly save us. I grew up in a culture where everyone that walked through the church doors was a sinner and they need to be reminded of it. And how horrible of a person they are. You don't save people by yelling at them. You save people by showing them that life with God is better than life without Him. But how do you show that? We're going to go back to our first verse, but just read just a little bit more. John chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You have a Father that loves you, that laid down his life for you, that gave us a foundation to build on, and a life to live, and people to live for. The abundant life has nothing to do with wealth. It has everything to do with people. God is calling you forward. God is calling you out. Not because he just wants to get rid of us, because we're following in the footsteps of his Son. The Son is a good shepherd. He lays down his life for his people. We have the same calling on our lives. We have the blessing of God in our life. We have the Spirit of God inside our heart. He's calling you forward. He's calling you out. Because there's 120,000 people right outside our doors that don't have it. That don't have the abundant life. Where they go through every single day inside their life where they don't have hope, where they don't have a future, they don't have a plan. They don't know of a Heavenly Father that loves them and cares for them and has a plan for them. That calls them to be more than just themselves. Because there's people every single day that are dying and going to hell, and we're just gonna sit here and act like nothing's happening. That's why I love being part of New Life. Because we don't just sit. We don't just stay. We go. That's what makes us a family. That's what brings us together. It's because we value the lost. We value those who don't have value in themselves. And not because we want to bloat ourselves up and say, yeah, New Life is the best. It's because we have leaders that care about the Word of God and care that others need to hear it. Go ahead, hop up on your feet. To get comfortable, especially on vacation, especially on Thanksgivings and Memorial Days and 4th of Julys. But it's even in those days that reminded the goodness of God and that we're supposed to live our life like we live an abundant life, filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with patience, self-control, and righteousness. Not because of anything that we've done, not because of anything that we can boast about, because that's what your Heavenly Father's given you. And it's a gift. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anyone here today, you're saying, Josh, I hear everything that you're saying. You see, I don't have that gift. I've never had an encounter with a Father that loves me. Every single encounter I've had with mankind or anyone that's a human being has always turned out to something that is disastrous for me. I keep on walking through my life with no plan, with no future. I have no hope for tomorrow. If that's you today, and you want to take that step, you want to say, I need my Father to love me. If that's your first time or your first time in a long time, can I just see your hand real quick? Okay. If there's anyone here today, you're saying, I just need a reminder. I need a reminder that I still have a Father that loves me. That the choice I made a long time ago, it wasn't a messed up mistake. It wasn't something that I did out of guilt. It wasn't something that I did. It wasn't a mistake. I need to know that my Father still loves me. If there's anyone here that needs a reminder that your life is supposed to be a life of blessing, can I see your hand today? I see that hand. You can go and put them down. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you that you love us. Father God, even in the midst of our failures, even in the midst of our mistakes, Father God, Lord, you still look down at us and God, you say, I still have a plan. I still have a vision. I still have a hope for you. God, I pray that you bless us today, Father God, Lord, that God, that you wrap your arms around us, Father God, and God, you make us understand that you still love us, Father God, Lord. There's never anything that we could do. There's never anything that we could say. There's never anything that we could think, Father God, that could ever push us away from you, Father God, Lord, that you are our loving Father, God, that even though we have had terrible encounters, Father God, with earthly fathers, God, or with people, God, that push us away and hurt us, that were supposed to care for us and love us, Father God, Lord, that you are the ultimate example, Father God, Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father God, Lord. You are the Creator. You are the Alpha and Omega, Father God, Lord. You are the beginning of our hope and you are the end of our defeat, Father God. Lord, you are the one that is calling us out and calling us forward, Father God, because you have a hope for us. So, Lord, I pray right now, Father God, Lord, that your arms just outstretch over, Father God, us. And God, Lord, that your spirit just falls. And in just a moment, these altars are going to open up. So if I could have the worship, the prayer team, please come forward. These altars are going to open up. If you need anything, just a quick prayer. If you need a reminder that God loves you, he's not mad at you, and that he wants to bless you. He's here for you. If there's anything that you should take from today, it's that you're worth it. You're worth it. Because God called you. God said that you're my son and my daughter. I called you. You're worth it. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we love you and I praise you. God, I thank you for today. God, Lord, I thank you for tomorrow. God, that your mercy, Father God, it flows through all of us, Father God, Lord. And God, Lord, let us just be the living example of your grace, your mercy, your joy, your peace, and your compassion, Father God. God, let our hearts be like yours, Father God. Let our eyes see like you do, Father God. Let our hands reach the same way as yours does, Father. Let us be strong enough, Father God. Let us be courageous enough to live your abundant life, Father God. God, that we charge every single day, Father God, knowing that you have a plan for us. And God, Lord, God, knowing that, God, that you have called us to succeed in that plan, Father God. Lord, you're not going to lead us to a place of failure. And I thank you, Father. And I ask you for your holy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.